Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Unknown Zone. This is the talk show about the unusual. I'm your host, Dave Turco, and with co-host Judy Sellens tonight, folks, we're going to be talking about the dog men. This is bizarre, but apparently true. And there are sightings of dog men all over the world. Somehow related to sightings of Bigfoot, lights, oddities, odd nights, strange.
Seen off and around UFOs too.
Yep, UFOs. It's all that same thing where it points to some being that's real that pops into our dimension every so often. You know, some of these old legends that the Native Americans had or whatever about them coming in a cycle. Maybe, again, there's a cycle to all sorts of things, and I don't think they're native to Earth, but to some dimension they sure are, and they're here quite often and have been seen.
They see them, that they appear like sometimes about every 10 years. So that's
right.
A definite cycle.
Yeah, that would be a cycle for sure, but I have to point out something here that I noticed. Somehow when I did this show, I put 60 minutes in there, but somehow it turned out to be 15 minutes. The thing is, you'll get this little blurb saying that the show ended, but the show keeps playing, so we can still do an hour show just for everybody to think that the show might end just 15 minutes tonight. It actually goes, we can still go for a whole hour. All right, we've got it. See how it goes. But anyway, this is absolutely bizarre. There are so many of these cryptids out there. And for folks that don't know what I mean, a cryptid has to do with cryptozoology. And it's a study of cryptids, like a puzzle, unknown entities, unknown animals, generally speaking. But something like a Bigfoot or this particular case, Dogman, all these oddities, Mothman, Owlman, there are legitimate sightings of these humanoid-type beings with, you know, anything from reptile to dog to ape to whatever. It's absolutely amazing. But there are stories all over the place, and they have been for centuries. Might not be as common as Bigfoot, might not be as popular for whatever reason. They seem to be a little bit scarier, to tell you the truth. Clearly not friendly. But again, like I say, these things are not just in one little local area, because there's, for instance, the Michigan Dogman is you know, popular. You can find that right on Wikipedia. There's a whole website devoted toward it. And you know, these things have gone back hundreds of years, but that's just in Michigan. It's throughout the entire world. It's just that it doesn't seem to happen, you know, with great frequency. And these things do live in the woods, except there were even sightings in New York City. Did you run across that one, Judy?
Yeah, there's been the sightings in a lot of areas, especially like just on the outskirts of towns and cities, especially like in Europe. A lot of them think that they're werewolves.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's a little bit different than what we think. But, I mean, Egyptians have them on the tombs, but those look like they've got a human body.
Correct.
With a, you know, a canine head. But still, I mean, it's still the same idea. But the ones that they're seeing and have been seeing right up until recently, they're hairy. And most of the hair is on their back. They very often will have a white or yellowish color hair on their chest. And they have pointed ears. They have, usually it's a yellowish eyes, but I think that could be eye shine, David, that they're seeing with the yellowish kind of eyes, you know,
right.
Because it would be an animal skull. And they just have, they seem to be seen in groups.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to hang out in groups. And you know, it's like if you're out camping, they're not the ones that's just going to be throwing rocks at you, like the big feet, or the big foots, I guess they call them.
Right.
They're noted for trying to scare you or just throwing rocks at you and just teasing you. These things come after you.
Correct.
They will literally come after you. They had, I think there was three or four guys that went out camping, and that was up in New York. I mean, that's not far from here, Dave. I mean, they used to be in your backyard.
You got it.
But they went up camping, and they'd had a couple of beers. One of them decided he was going to stay up by the fire for a while. The other two went to bed. They got in the tent, and then the other guy came in after about an hour, and he said, there's something out here, and that it doesn't seem to be afraid. And that's the biggest thing with these things. They don't seem to be afraid of humans, where the Bigfoots tend to hide behind trees and stay back. These
mm-hmm.
things won't. They'll come right up after you. And if you're driving down the dirt roads, like some of these have been seen out on the dirt road, getting roadkill, even picking up dead animals off the road. There was one guy that was driving down the road, and he was in a good sized truck, you know, a high four wheel truck, and
mm-hmm.
he swears that thing just flattened out in the road, and when he drove over, him.
Hmm.
And then when he looked, the thing was gone. But he said that definitely he wasn't afraid. It just stood there as bold as, you know, as any animal that was used to being around humans. It just stood there and it wouldn't move.
Hmm.
And that seems to be the way a lot of them are. Even when you shine the car or the vehicle lights on them, like these campers, they had these big lights on the top of their truck, and they turned those on as well, so it lit him right up.
Mm-hmm.
It was standing right in front in the road, in the dirt road, and this was after they had tried to escape from it, because the thing was tearing the, I mean, literally it would come right up, one of them would, and it would grab a hold of the tent or the tent poles and pull on it.
Mm.
And it was like dragging it. And that's when the guy said, you know, the heck with this, we got to get out of here. So they took off, ran for the truck. And when they got in the truck, these things were in the road. They were in, which was just a dirt road up into the forest. But that's when they could see them plain as day. They could see the color of them. They could see, you know, the shape of the head. It just doesn't fit to be. But the feet on this thing were definitely like dog's feet. They were pads.
Hmm.
Because they were talking about how fast these things will walk on 2 feet, 2 legs, and then they can drop down and they can run 35, 40 miles an hour.
Wow.
But they said that what they're running on are like canine pads on their feet.
Okay.
They're not running like on feet like we have,
mm-hmm.
which kind of makes them different definitely than what the Egyptians painted, because they had them with regular hands and feet. So, yeah, it gets kind of interesting when you see that these things tend to be seen around the big feet.
Yep.
And they tend to be, sometimes they'll be arguing with them, and sometimes they'll be fighting, you know, regular fighting. But when these guys were there in the woods, they thought there was nobody, going to be anybody around them or anything. Then when the sun went down, and they said the woods just got really, really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they couldn't even hear crickets anymore. There was nothing. And then it felt like a lightning storm was about to come because you could feel static in the air. And he said all of the hair on the back of his neck kind of stood up. And like one of the guys said that the air felt like it was humming. And then all of a sudden there was a real deep bass voice. Now, this is what they talk about, is that this thing has, it sounds human, but mm-hmm. it has a real deep voice, a real loud, deep voice. And then there was a bright light in the distance that flashed up and lit up the whole woods. And it looked like a light when, you know, when you'd have a large firework or something like that explodes. And for the first few seconds, it lit up like that, but then it split up into three or four other lights, which does sound like a firework, kind of, and shot back down into the trees.
Hmm.
And they said that they could see all the lights glowing in the woods, and then there was a huge gust of wind, which wouldn't go with fireworks that I know of. And it was gone, and everything smelled like it had just rained, but it of course it hadn't rained.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, they were waiting, trying to figure out what to do. I mean, what do you do when you know there's more than one or two of them out there?
Right.
I mean, but are you safe in a canvas tent, or do you just try to make it to the truck? I mean, one thing or another, I don't know. But they did make it, let's see, this thing that was around the camp, they came in as close as 50 feet to the fire, so they're not afraid of fire either. Usually when you're in the wilderness and you put a big fire up,
mm-hmm.
usually an animal won't come near it. The
sure.
wild animals don't like fire. They know that fires are dangerous. They know that they can be hurt by them and burned. And so they don't come near a fire. And that's why so many people at night would light a big barn fire, because you don't have to worry about a bear or something coming up on you, because they're not going to come near something, unless they're like rabbit or something like that. But they were talking about the scream that they gave, and then they said that one of them kept grunting and running into the woods. And then that was the one that was grabbing the tent. But the tent was starting to collapse, and so they had no choice but to try to make it to the truck. And so that's what they did. And they said that this thing was 8 feet tall. It was had dark gray hair over its body, except for the front, which was white or yellow on the chest. Its face looked like a dog. Almost, it said. And the next day they went back to get their stuff and everything was gone.
Hmm.
Nothing left at the campsite whatsoever.
Yeah. Now, where did you say, and where was this location?
This was in New York.
Okay, it's still New York. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Wild.
This was in New York. Let me see. I should have the area report. It was southern New York.
Hmm.
So, I mean, you know, we're kind of like southern Rhode Island.
We are. And what I found fascinating was, could be related, talking about southern New York. Sorry. New York City is in the Great White Way, known as Broadway. This goes back to 1911.
Yeah.
From the New York City Police Department, of all places. And, you know, it was published in the day. But, you know, when I think about that, what used to get published, because everything is so controlled now in the media. I don't, you know, I always tell people, question everything, do your research. You'll eventually find out if it's true or not. But almost anything on TV, in movies, on the internet, in papers, I'm not saying things are 100% false. A lot of times they're just at least inaccurate, or at least part of a story. Anyway, and one thing that's often done is the thing about omissions. But when we did the stories of giants, now most, except for our listeners, of course, most people wouldn't believe, you know, thinking, well, if you believe in the Bible, I guess there were giants. But all that other stuff is sort of exaggeration. They made it up. There's no evidence, blah, blah, blah. Well, there's plenty of evidence, and it's beyond the Bible. There's physical evidence. And both the New York Times and the National Geographic, or I should have said not the National Geographic, sorry, they may or may not have, but the Smithsonian Magazine published in the late 1800s to early 1900s about giants and with stories written by archaeologists and them showing the bones. All that stuff has been put away, and it's just as though it never happened. And just try to talk to the New York Times or the Smithsonian about it. You won't get anywhere. Back in 1911, however, they did publish a story about this oddity that happened on Broadway. This involved a couple of patrolmen, and the person who submitted the story was his grandfather, whose name was John McNamara. So anyway, people had let out of a play on Broadway, and nearby alley, a canine type creature that was on two legs, hairy, but the human-like arms and legs, but I'm not sure about the feet, but it was completely hairy and had that of a canine head. It was not a human head. It was not a costume. Anyway, what's amazing about this particular case is the dog man was running from them, and the police were actually able to shoot it and kill it. The body fell into the gutter. No one was allowed to come within 100 feet of the unknown canine. The body was quickly removed and taken to the mortuary, the city mortuary. Both patrolmen were then placed on other assignments. The squad was told by the superiors that this was simply a case of mistaken identity. The deceased was that of a man in a costume, which they said was impossible because of how fast it could run. And they knew it was, and it was 7 feet tall, as it turns out. And the press was later told that by the police that a large mad dog caused the disruption and that none of the public were injured. Bizarre. And in that same time,
not uncommon for them to cover up something.
No, the number of things that have happened that, you know, we know for sure for through our research that happen, and they get covered up. You know, there's a reason why kids' nursery rhymes, or you know, in literature or in movies or whatever, you just constantly see this theme where, for whatever reason, the powers that be at any given time love to control information, and they never want to have anything that looks like an unknown or something that could be more powerful than they are or something along those lines. They just, you know, will not have it. Anyway, at that same time period, there was an article that was in the Louisiana paper. This was in particular the St. Mary Banner in Franklin, Louisiana. And, you know, again, people said that, you know, this was a humanoid with, that was like, you know, cross between an animal and a human. And in this particular case, the police then officially called it a large terrier.
Yeah.
Basic, huh? I mean, the whole thing is just insane. But anyway, there's a case that actually made the papers. I don't know what to say about that one. It's just absolutely bizarre. Then there was another one, an article from, it's called the Holbrook News, Holbrook News, Holbrook. That was in Holbrook, Arizona, March 1st, 1912. And yeah, another story about a dog man / upright canine. you know, these things exist. And there are stories. I mean, all you have to do is Google it, and you'll start to see. There are books. There's a book called Real Wolfmen, The Encounters in Modern America.
Yeah.
Here's one. My Years with a Dog Man, Through Personal Recollections and Letters. Another one, Dog Man. Werewolf Encounters in Northeastern America. American Monsters, A History of Monster Lore, Legends, and Sightings in America. These are all books you can get on Amazon. Check it out. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, but because there's another book, too, that's called The Beast of Bray Road. Mm-hmm. And it was a story in Wisconsin, right?
Oh, yeah.
Here. And then there was the Ottawa tribes around the Manistee River. And they talk about these creatures existing. And that's part of their folklore. And what they have found with folklore, with most of these different tribes, is that what they're telling you about are true events that actually happened.
Right.
And they have to tell them exactly as they were told. And that's how they remember them. None of them were written down. They were all told word for word. And that storyteller had to learn it word for word and not change it.
Correct.
Or they couldn't be a storyteller.
That's right.
So when you get these stories that the Native Americans have of these beings, especially around the Great Lakes and places up in that area, I mean, that's why they were very similar, because, you know, it's not like, oh, well, we had a black one or whatever. But the stories of these animals and what they look like, down to the color of their eyes, some of them had blue eyes, and others had the yellow eyes, which is kind of interesting, because if you get down into, I believe it was in Texas, where that chupacabra was killed on the highway.
Yeah.
And then they brought that chupacabra has blue eyes.
Oh.
And so it kind of fit in with these beings with their blue eyes. Sometimes they said that when they would see them, when the lights would hit them, the eyes would either be red or they would be yellow. But that's eye shine. I really think that's eye shine that they're
seeing.
Very
well could be.
Yeah. But when it comes down to the identification of these animals from area to area to area, even from country to country,
mm-hmm.
they're identical.
Yeah, that's right.
They're absolutely identical. A lot of people think they're something from, from outer space, maybe something that is coming in on the UFOs.
Well, I don't think they come on the UFO. What I think happens is UFOs come into our dimension by opening up a portal. Somehow they can manipulate the time-space continuum.
And then these things just come through the portal.
And they just, while it's open, it gives them the ability to come through. It's kind of like a great Stargate episode where somebody, you know, when the Stargate is activated and people are, you know, using it, you know, people who didn't know what the heck they were doing happen to be nearby and just sneaks through before it closes.
Yeah.
It's that sort of thing. And by the way, I was going to say The Beast of Bray Road. There's a book called The Beast of Bray Road, Tailing Wisconsin's Werewolf by Linda Godfrey. She's done a lot. She's probably done the most work on this. She's done The Michigan Dogman, Werewolves, and Other Unknown Canines Across America.
Done a lot of studies on these things.
Oh, yeah. Linda Godfrey, check it out. I mean, she believes they're real. She's done a lot of work with this stuff. She is America's foremost authority on modern-day werewolves. She's been on things like Monster Quest, Inside Edition. She's even been on, you know, Fox News, Coast to Coast AM, public radio, you know, NPR, those sorts of things. There's just amazing stuff out there. And, you know, we tend to, you know, we have brought a lot of stuff to you, but some of these things, you know, you just got to do a little bit of research. It will blow your mind. And just because some of them aren't as well known as Bigfoot or obviously UFOs, things like that, or what's our favorite one? Loch Ness Monster, things like that. Real interesting stuff. But this dog man thing, especially when we have done, you can go back through our archives. All of our shows are archived here on Blog Talk Radio. When we did the dog head of people, and that, you know, here you had well-known Greek, well, I'll call them travelers, but they, back in the time when Greece was dominant, and there were a lot of famous Greeks who were historians and basically anthropologists, whatever, and they traveled the whole world, especially going along the Silk Route. On the way to India, there was a place in rural India where there were reputed to be tribes of dog-headed people. Also in North Africa and different parts of Africa.
Right.
It's absolutely amazing. Now, then that seemed to be actually populations that were living here. Not exactly the same thing, but not too different. So I don't know whether these beings are related or not.
Well, it kind of fits as far as when, with canines and stuff. They like to run in packs.
Yeah.
And your canines will very often have, you know, the alpha male and female, and then a bunch of other ones that will run along with them. And it's kind of like the same thought with these dog men, because they tend to be in groups.
Yeah.
So if they're running in groups.
Yeah.
Then that is very canine.
Yeah.
Except that these things are much too big to be canines. They're 7-8 feet tall standing on their back feet.
That's right.
And so, they can drop down and run off at 35, 40 miles an hour. But for the most part, when they're checking things out and tormenting people, they're on their back feet walking around.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, yeah, and even the pointed ears. The pointed ears, the chupacabra had pointed ears too. You know, I mean.
That's right. Yeah.
That's not a humanoid thing to have pointed ears on top of your head. That I know of.
That's a Vulcan thing.
Yeah, well, Spock. He was always my favorite. But anyway. Yeah, I mean, it gets into that. And so, you know, I got into this thing about, you know, I always get on to one thing and then kind of got this question in the back of my mind. So I kind of got into this question about, you know, we have a thing, especially here in the United States, where people just go into national forests and just disappear.
Correct.
Or if they're found, and they can be little toddlers. They are anywhere from 2.5 miles or further away within a matter of hours. That's impossible.
Right.
That's impossible for something to make it that far, that fast, when you're just a little kid. All of these tiny children disappeared while standing behind their parents. The parents were walking along, the children were right behind them, and they're gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so my question was, could they be taking some of these people, or, I mean, since they're not afraid of people, could they be grabbing some of these kids or some of these people and raising them as theirs in order to keep whatever line they are going of half human? I mean, think about it. I mean, they got the half human, half animal somewhere. So could it possibly be that, I mean, even if they're from another dimension, that they could be picking up, they never find bodies or anything else of these children. Of course, you know, you get a small child and the animal can carry it off. But when these little kids have been found, for some odd reason, not just the children, but even the adults, especially senior adults, when they're found, they're all barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them only have a shirt on. And they find them miles away from they were reported, you know, missing, and these areas have been investigated over and over and over and over again. There have been searchers out looking for these people, and never came across anything, not even footprints, nothing. It's just like they get lifted up and they're gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, that just gets my mind going because, you know, we have one show on one thing, one show on another thing, and like we've always said, everything's connected. And
that
we've
is
had
correct.
Shows on all different subjects, and then maybe 2 years down the road, we find out they're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I got wondering, you know, about these people coming up missing, mainly in national forests. Now, granted, there's nobody living in the national forest except for a few forest rangers. And when they're closed seasonally, there's really nobody there. So it would be much easier for, you know, somebody to get grabbed and taken off. But the thing of it is, when these people disappear, it's not during the time when the parks are closed. It's
correct.
During a time when the parks are open, or they wouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
So where do they go? You know, and could it very well be that some of these beings have the ability to take them into another dimension, and that's why nothing is ever found of them. But why are they always barefoot? They're always barefoot, and their feet have no scratches or bruises on them. And if they have walked through the woods for 2.5 miles at the least, you're going to have some sore feet because the woods is full of they're just full of things that you're going to step on and either get a briar in your foot or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So something's going to scratch your feet at the least.
I know. Those. To me, I believe these are paranormal, multidimensional encounters where these people go missing, especially these kids, because they're going... I mean, this used to be on PBS when that physicist, his last name was Green, G-R-E-E-N-E. I forget what his first name was. Brian Green, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And his obsession was, you know, basically travel manipulating the time-space continuum, or in other words, using wormholes or mini man-made wormholes that we could control at least temporarily and just go through them. And his thing was, because he was in New York City, you know, just going from point A to B, like walking through a doorway, and instead of just going laterally to the next room, you could go to the other side of town instantaneously if you could manipulate the time-space continuum via a wormhole. I'm not saying it was done that way, but there's something like that where natural portals or something opens up and these kids get into them. Or maybe there are beings, you know, from another dimension doing these things and snatching these kids, or who knows what they're doing with them. It could be benign. It could be sinister. It could be anything. But these things are happening. So, and, of course, what did you say? What percentage are found?
About 50%.
About 50% are found. And, again, there's something really weird where, you know, being...
But that's out of, like, 1,100 that have been missing up until 2013. And that's not even including the last few years. So if it's 1,100, I mean, that's still a lot of people missing that's never found.
I don't know over what time period. I thought it was much higher than that. It's a startling number of people go missing just from the national parks alone. And it wasn't until that guy did that, you know, 411 or whatever his book was about.
He wrote those books, yeah. And one is Western United States. The other one is 41 missing 411 Eastern United States. Which,
yeah.
I was shocked at, David, as to how many people in the New England area have been missing and never found. I mean, we've got a lot of, it's built up. I mean, we do have a lot of woodlands,
mm-hmm.
but you think somewhere along the line, if you stayed with a river, you're going to come out in a village or a town somewhere.
Right.
And the third one here is missing 411 North America and beyond.
Right.
So, I mean, he did. He wrote those three books, and when you get into them, they're really fascinating because of the studies that, you know, were done on these. You know, when they bring the search dogs out
mm-hmm.
to search for these missing children,
mm-hmm.
they refuse to search.
Mm.
They refuse. They won't go. And it's like, these are dogs that are professionally trained to go out and search. And they said they had never seen them, refused to search.
Oh, I thought it was something like they would lose the scent. Oh, okay. Yeah, there's something absolutely unequivocally anomalous, or I should say paranormal, about that whole thing.
Yeah.
And these things could be absolutely related. I don't know what it is or how it works or how it's related, but somehow it absolutely is related. In Louisiana, by the way, they have a name for it. It's called the Rougarou.
The Rougarou, yeah.
Rougarou, yeah. It's a legendary creature from Louisiana, and the people who are ethnically French.
You see a lot of that Rougarou. All throughout the swamps.
Uh-huh, and it's a dog-headed hominoid, you know, either wolf or dog-headed.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back a long time. This goes back hundreds of years. It's just so wild to me.
They had that on one of these police shows one night, and I was just watching
really?
It. And it was the Southern Police, and they were down there in the swamps and talking about, you know, the people that live down there, and they're actual police. And they went out because one guy had called them that there was something outside of his house. And that it was huge, and he was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of these camps that is in the middle of the swamp. So, I mean, basically they're on, like, set on little islands.
Yeah.
So he went out there, and he took his phone, and he got photographs of this thing.
Yeah,
and it absolutely looks like either it's a huge hairy creature, but to look at that creature and where the windows were, because all those houses are raised on stilts.
Yep.
That thing could look in his window.
Hmm.
And he was terrified because he said, "I think it's the Rougarou." And so they went around, and when the police looked at those, the photographs that was on his phone. And it's got the date and the time and everything on it. They were shocked. They said, this is amazing. I don't know what to even tell you about this. And the guy says, it's a Rougarou. You know, that's what it is. And he's saying, well, I don't want to say one way or the other. Of course, they're cops. They can't. And so they took the thing in. They could not get anyone to tell them what they thought that was. Not one one officer in the station would say, well, this is what but one guy that was in the station who'd lived down there all his life, he said, this is what the people call the Rougarou. And it's like, luckily this guy had gotten a photograph of it, and it did look like some big, huge, hairy creature. But if that house is on stilts, how high up do you think it is? Because they're used to floods, and they're used to floods with at least 10 feet of water.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put their houses way up on stilts to live in that swamp. And that thing could look in his windows.
Ooh.
So whatever that was very tall. I mean, and even the cop said that. He said, whatever this is, if he can see, unless he's standing on something, and I don't see where he's been standing on anything out here, then, that you know, this would be impossible for him to see in your windows.
Yeah.
And the guy said, well, he's been, I turned around and I saw his face in my window.
Hmm.
So, yeah. And I just as you're saying that, I'm thinking of, they have a channel that comes on with all police you know, squads and all that kind of stuff. And this was the southern, down in the, it's not the Everglades, it's the regular bios down in the swamps.
Mm-hmm.
And they had them going around and explaining about the people, because they're very possessive about their boundary lines and stuff. And they don't want, you know, if they're locals, that's one thing, but they don't want people on their property. They don't want people around their stuff. And so I guess when this guy first saw somebody out there, he thought it was a person. But then when he went out and he took a photograph of the thing, it certainly wasn't, human.
Hmm.
Not with that much hair and stuff all over it. I mean, I thought, oh, it's got to be, you know, a Bigfoot. It's got to be something like that because it's so damn big. Well, then you get thinking about if it's the Rougarou, then that's not a Bigfoot. Because they talk about the Bigfoot separately than the Rougarou. The Rougarou is supposed to be very dangerous. He's supposed to be something that will attack you, and he's not afraid of humans, and he's very, which sounds more like these dogmen.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that just rang a little bell in my little noodle. But seeing that was 2 or 3 years ago I saw that, and I thought, you know, it's kind of fascinating. It was really nothing on that night. I don't usually watch police shows, but I thought, oh, this is about, you know, the swamp people, and I'm interested in different cultures and how they function and survive and everything. And I've watched the other program, which is called Swamp People, where they shoot all the alligators.
Yeah. So, yeah, of all the dog-headed beings out there, yeah, the Rougarou is probably the most in popular culture. There have been songs written about it. Back when New Orleans, the Hornets were in New Orleans, they've since moved. But one of the names they filed a trademark for was the Rougarou, which would have been super cool. But many, many TV shows have had that. A lot of the sci-fi shows have featured the Rougarou specifically. But they've been looked at also, you know, not just from a sci-fi, you know, fake kind of Hollywood angle type of thing, like a, you know, story, but actually, but real ones on either Discovery Channel or the History Channel. History Channel. It was Cryptid the Swamp Beast.
Yeah.
That was the one you were talking about. It's absolutely amazing, but written about in many, many books. It's wild. It's just a wild thing.
Well,
you know,
it gets wilder when you think of how many weird things were out in this world.
Well, exactly.
That's being reported.
You know,
yeah.
there are a lot of people out there, and we've mentioned a few of them tonight, who have, like Linda Godfrey, who basically make their living off of doing this sort of thing. There really are genuine unknowns all over the planet. And for whatever reason, the media don't like to talk about these things. Just like you'll get, you know, the average person will say, oh, yeah, well, most people believe in, you know, alien life and UFOs, but there haven't been any UFO sightings lately, have there?
No, I haven't heard of much of anything.
Well, hold on. That was just doing a little acting there. No, you haven't unless you look for it. Go to the websites that carry it, like MUFON or whatever. These things, people report UFO sightings every day. That's just in America, let alone worldwide. All these things go on all the time. But there has to be a forum for it. Like there's a paranormal forum I found. Let me see if I can find you. Because there's so many of these things. I've got so many websites open right now. Not that one, I don't think. Yeah, it's this one. The Edge of Reality, Pro Boards. It's a forum board. Go there. Go to some of these things. You can see the fake ones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the people that sort of troll or whatever, there were just some really, really, really bizarre stories. You know, firsthand accounts, you know, people that used to be, You know, back in the day, I mean, I know they still have it, especially as we come up on summer season. As hard as to believe as that is, since here in New England, it's, what, 50 degrees and freezing rain again? It's unbelievable. Our weather is unreal. Anyhow, you know what? These people are camp counselors. It harkens back to some of these, again, horror movies. But there are a lot of true stories out there where these things happen. And, you know, people have seen, you know, will write in and say, hey, this happened to me. And I'm, you know, 30 years on, I'm still shaken if I think about it. Because it's one of those things where, you know, if you just saw like a, I know you're an animal lover and everything, but suppose there was a bad dog on the loose, like, let's just say, not that any of these dogs are bad, but a dog that's known to bite people, whatever, a rabbit or something like that. But still, once you've made it inside, it's just a dog. Let the authorities take care of it, get the dog catcher, whatever. Animal patrol, something will happen, no big whoop. But when you see something that you know is not right, your body reacts. Even if you can barely see it in the dark, you know what it isn't. You know it's something completely different. And that's what these, you go on these forums and people like, and I never told anybody, but you know, when I was a kid, blah, 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 blah. And I've never gotten over it to this day. And this particular forum has to do with Dog Man. And you go on there and there are a lot of people writing in, whether it's, you know, some relative that had seen them or firsthand accounts. But generally speaking, it is in a rural area. It's absolutely bizarre. But again, there's this thing where they're almost never seen, just like Bigfoot, meaning you don't recover the bodies. Somehow, some level of it has to do with this paranormal multidimensional thing where they're not permanently here. I don't know if they have to go back through the portal or if it's like a mermaid and if they're out of the water so long, then something happens to them or whatever, you know. Something, you know, actually, there was that theory with the werewolf, right? I guess when the sun came up, then it turned into a human again or something?
Yeah, it turns human or something. Or if you shoot them, then when you go to look at the body, you think, you know, it's a human being.
Right, then it morphs into a human being. And who knows? That's just like with you know, some of these movies, Cat People, which, by the way, if you never saw it, great movie, loved it. But again, it was one of these things where these humans were turning into Black Panthers. And then, you know, there's the crossover period where they look like half cat, half human. But again, when they died, they turned into humans. So there's, and again, it was only on the full moon, same sort of deal. And then when the day came up, the sun came up, they turned back into humans, and they were that way again for the next 28 days or so. It's a sort of similar parallel theme, I would say. There's something to it, but it's definitely paranormal. It's definitely related to Bigfoot, which is definitely related to UFOs. It's not even a question anymore. And as usual, just like people have come to learn things over time, whether it's trying to understand, and we are going into crop circle season. Whether it's aliens, gray aliens in particular, you know, they used to talk about, you know, you trot out some scientists. It can't be because it would take X amount of years, even at the speed of light, to get here. Why would they? How would that? What's their lifespan? You know, that sort of thing. But that was before science knew it was actually possible to traverse the world without going in a linear fashion, that you could manipulate the time-space continuum. And, of course, these beings, or at least some aliens, are more advanced than we are, technically anyway, and could do this stuff. And it turns out, you know, over time, people sort of catch on at the same time. All of these things are a multidimensional experience. It's not just happening here in the third dimension. It's only when it happens in the third dimension that we catch wind of it and people get a quick sighting of it. But they don't seem to be permanent in our dimension And that's why you never get to see any of these, you know, their remains or what have you. Or somehow when they're shot, something happens and they morph. Or it's just really weird.
Well, if they're running in packs and one of them dies,
uh-huh.
and it's time for them to go back through the portal, they're just going to take it with them.
Granted, but there's some of these sightings, apparently they're not in packs. I know that most of them claim to be. There was that... there's a great movie called Dog Soldier, which was, I think it was either in England or Ireland or something like that. Like the crazy, the Brits over there do the great movies. Anyway, that was in rural, some part of rural UK. And again, I don't know if it was whatever night, but these pack of, these animals would morph and turn into something like a werewolf. It was one of those intense things, sort of like the birds, except, you know, the movie The Birds, where every so often they were be quiescent, and then every so often they'd start attacking like mad and trying to get through the chimney and attack the heck out of the people. Sort of like that. Except they weren't birds, they were werewolves. And
you know,
was,
there is a thing with the Native Americans I'm thinking of. I think mm-hmm. it's the... I can't remember which tribe it is now, whether it was the Navajos, maybe?
No.
And they have a story of this beast that comes after their young women. And they'll break right into a house and take the woman and take off of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they had that on one night, a number of years ago now. And it's something that might be interesting to look into, whether or not it's supposed to be some sort of a creature. And they will actually have bodyguards. They'll have some of the men in their village come out as bodyguards and guard the houses with the young women in it once there's been a report of them being around. And they have actually seen the footprints of these things by the girls' windows.
Hmm.
So that's another one that we haven't talked about, I don't think, and that we could see if it's somehow connected up with any of these beasts because it's just been part of the cultures of these people for so long. And it's not like, oh, well, they're just, you know, they're whack. No, these people weren't on any medications. They weren't on any, they weren't drinking. These were young girls, young teenage girls. And they definitely had something, and there were long claw marks on the windows where this thing tried to get in. That's what woke the girl up in the room.
God.
She came running out, and her mother grabbed her and went into another room, and her father went in with a gun and tried to shoot it. But by the time he got in there, because she had screamed, it ran off. So then he goes out into the yard, and I mean, these were supposed to be true stories of these Native Americans and different creatures that are out there. So it might be actually interesting because of, especially in the United States, they were always here. And so if the Native Americans were always here, they have more knowledge of these beings than we do.
God, yeah.
And mm-hmm. so, yeah, there is one that is set up somehow to the young girls. And I can't remember the name of the thing, but can kind of look into that and see what they have to say about, you know, what these creatures are. But I mean, they talked about the Bigfoots and they've talked about, you know, wolf men and all different kinds of beings. They believed in all these things existing, and even the giants, they knew the giants existed. They thought we were all nuts because we didn't believe in it, but they knew they existed. They had those huge mounds and they knew that they were buried in them. And then everybody started, after a while, a few people checked into what was in the mounds, and sure enough, there were gigantic skeletons in there.
Mm.
So it might be worth it to just check into, see what the Native American, they don't usually like to talk about a lot of their folklore. They usually will only talk about it to themselves.
Right.
But Yeah, this was one night that they were actually on TV, and they had had several attacks, and one girl had been she'd been grabbed, but then when the family went out, they stopped it. But she had claw marks all over this thing that tried to get her. Pulled her right up through the window.
You know, a great source of information on the Dogmen is, believe it or not, Judith, YouTube.
They got a ton of it. Yep.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Somebody actually has, their name is, goes by Dogman Encounters. That's the name of the channel. It's an actual YouTube channel. There are 16,000 subscribers. And this gal has episode after episode after episode. This person is a Bigfoot researcher in Central Illinois, where I just got back from Northern Illinois. Big country out there. This country, I mean, I only flew over a third of the country. I've been back and forth over the entire country.
It takes a while to get there. Just doing a third of it.
I mean, how fast do you go in a big jet? 600, 500 miles an hour? And, you know, there you are, just like over. And when you're up there, you know, 5 miles in the sky, all you can see as far as you can see is land.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're moving 500, 600 miles an hour, and you're at 5 miles, say. Now walk that. You know, it's just amazing how much land there is and how few people. I know people go on about, especially if you're Bill Gates, the overpopulation. Maybe because there's not all that much arable land, but you know, there is. This is a huge, huge country.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in Chicago, that's one thing. I was in Chicago, but then also on the, you know, the edges of it, the so-called suburbs. As soon as you're really out of it, it turns to farmland, vast, endless farmland as far as you can see. Anything can be out there. Now, a lot of it is not as wooded as it here is here in the Northeast, but when you get into Central Illinois, it is. It's all woods. So much of this country is woods. Anything could be living out there.
Sure.
It's absolutely amazing. And for anybody to think that we know everything that's out there is just crazy. But anyway, you know, she has, there are just so many, they're called Dogman Encounters. Look it up. And these are firsthand accounts. Whatever, buyer beware, but research. Go in with an open mind. And so these are up to date. These are going on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely wild what's out there. But like, you know, what Judith and I do, and I know we're the type of people that we change up what we talk about every so often because we don't want the government getting too upset with us. And so we play it cool and do things like the dog man, or if it's really bad, we'll talk about your aura again and they'll get off our backs. But, you know, there's just amazing stuff out there that they don't want you to know about. Some of it's kind of innocuous, but there's more. I think the bottom line, Judy, why they don't want people to know is because there's more to reality than what the authorities like to tell us, because they want to be in control. The fact of the matter is we're just scratching the surface knowing anything. And the fact of the matter is we know that there are things that happen that are anomalous, that they are absolutely true. And there's not only life outside of planet Earth, there's life on Earth, whether it's here on Earth, in Earth. Listen to some of our Hollow Earth shows. We're talking about Admiral Byrd here. It's not just Judy and David saying, I wonder if the Earth is actually hollow. There are some amazing stories that can't be refuted that go on here. Or maybe, it's part of Earth is actually, in one dimension is pretty solid, but in other dimensions, every so often things open up and people go through these holes. They go through portals. They go visit different civilizations that somehow are here. You know, let alone different animal species or hominid species like Bigfoot, Dogman, Owlman, Mothman. They're there. They've been around for a long time. They seem to be living a parallel existence to us here, but every so often bleeds through. And it's just part of our reality. And they got our heads spinning about whatever politic nonsense is going on, or black versus white still, they're going on about racism. I mean, come on. Let's get past this, can we?
Yeah.
And let's talk about what's really going on in this world. There's so many things going on. Absolutely amazing. And this is just one of them. It's wild, wild stuff.
Yep.
Hey, Judy, we're at the end of our hour.
Yes, another hour. So, well, the next time we'll be on, we'll have Gary with us, so that'll be
exciting.
We will.
And he is a great tarot reader, psychic medium, and he had his own cryptid sighting up in Massachusetts one time.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
That literally set him on his butt.
Yeah.
And he admitted to that. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
All right, well, we will be with you again next week, so I hope everyone has a great week and stay healthy.
Right. See you,
all I can say to that one. All right,
yeah.
Bye-bye.
Good one. Yeah, bye. And thanks for joining us. And see us again next Tuesday morning for a show with Gary McKinstry. He's a great psychic medium. Call in, and you can get a free reading on air. See you then. Bye-bye.